end of 2020 is now days away. It's been a tough year. Lockdowns, fires, lumber prices. And here we are. We made it. As we round the corner, we can tell the story of a year that already seems larger than life. Which brings me to today's guest, the son of a South Carolina home builder. He was born into the business, you could say. Jerry Howard, CEO of the National Association of Home Builders, rides adversity like a cowboy in the wind. A real estate attorney by training, Jerry worked with a couple other associations before joining NAHB, but it wasn't until the recession of 2001 that he stepped up as NAHB's CEO. It's not like running a National Housing Association through a tough economy is hard, right? This is a man of true grit, folks, but also one of strategy and intellect. You've heard of LIHTC, low-income housing tax credits. Well, this is the guy. In a previous life, Jerry was a key player in getting LIHTC into the Tax Reform Act of 1986. Now, in his fourth decade with NAHB, Jerry leads the nation's builders, developers, and property operators. Those who put roofs over the heads of the world's greatest nation in all economies and climates. With an operation spanning 350 staff, serving hundreds of thousands of members, Jerry, you are a housing rock star. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure. That's quite an introduction. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Jerry, let's start with a hot topic, politics. It appears that Representative Marsha Fudge of Ohio will become the next HUD secretary. What's your take?
That certainly looks like the case now. I know that she's been nominated by President-elect Biden, and she'll have to obviously go through the process. But that does look like it'll be the case. I don't really see any major reason why the Senate, no matter how it's made up after the elections in Georgia, would not confirm Representative Fudge. So we're expecting her to become the next HUD secretary.
Representative Fudge said that addressing the lack of low and moderate income housing is a top priority. What's your advice for reaching this goal?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And the first thing that I'm trying to do is make sure that the people in the industry don't get too carried away by Secretary-designate Fudge's apparent lack of a resume in housing. That's not uncommon at all. In fact, Secretary Carson had really no housing expertise. What really matters there is not the expertise or the experience of the secretary, but really the two top people under the secretary, the FHA commissioner and the deputy secretary. So the first thing that I would suggest to Representative or Secretary-designate Fudge is to make sure that her top staff are housing professionals that understand the difficulty in achieving the goal that she's setting for herself.
That makes perfect sense. Pam was Ben Carson's right hand and instrumental in his vision.
Yes, Pam Patenaude is a great example of a housing professional who reflected the philosophy and the philosophical views of the secretary, and the same for Brian Montgomery. And that's what Representative Fudge needs to find, are people like that have the same kind of a perspective on housing that she does.
Absolutely. What does NAHB want to see the administration do to support housing?
Housing affordability has been an issue that we've been trying to work on. And until the pandemic hit, we were making great strides in convincing the candidates to discuss housing affordability as a part of their platform. And by housing affordability, I mean housing at all levels, not just for low and very low income people, but for first-time homebuyers, for market rate renters. And so I would like to encourage Secretary-designate Fudge to really expand her horizon and look at housing affordability across the spectrum as a goal that HUD should take on.
Regardless of the Senate runoff in Georgia, Congress will be closely divided. How hard does this make it for NAHB to achieve its legislative goals?
You know, actually, it doesn't. It makes it better for NAHB. And I'll tell you why. Right now in the House of Representatives, the Democrats are going to have somewhere between a 4-6 vote majority. That is not a governing number. There's always some people who are going to miss votes, some people who disagree with their party, and so coalitions have to be formed. And for an organization like NAHB, being able to work with the moderates on both sides of the aisle and forming a coalition of the moderates will be able to get legislation passed. Not only that, when you're forming a coalition from the middle out, you get better legislation passed. It's not partisan to one side or the other. It's good, solid legislative governing ideas. We're very, very excited. In fact, just yesterday I was on the phone with Congressman Tom Reed, a Republican from New York, along with Congressman Josh Gottheimer, a Democrat from New Jersey. They're the two co-chairs of what they call the Problem Solvers Caucus. The Problem Solvers Caucus is an invitation-only caucus that members of Congress have to be invited into from both sides of the aisle. The only thing they have to be is two things. They have to be proud members of their own party, Republican or Democrat, but they have to be prouder Americans, and they have to want to solve the American problems. These two guys, Reed and Gottheimer, are going to be very, very influential in passing legislation through the House, and it's exactly the kind of people that NAHB likes to work with.
Boy, that's positive news, and we need it. With the growth of the administrative state and the growing tendency toward government by executive order, is Congress even relevant?
You know, I hope so. The fact that the last couple of administrations have had to resort to executive orders to govern is illustrative, I think, of the sad polarization that Congress has undergone for the past 20 years. And that's one reason why I'm so excited about the Problem Solvers Caucus and Congressman Gottheimer and Congressman Reed, because they want to govern the way the Founding Fathers wanted us to be governed. And that's through legislation. And they will have enough influence over their respective party caucuses, I think, to pull things back to the center. It's a great opportunity. I'm very excited about the next Congress.
Brilliant. Next year is huge. New residential building codes come online. In the beginning, building codes were about safety and occupancy. The new code has some late arriving insulation standards that had been rejected. There's an economic trade-off of building costs versus lower long-term operating expense, nothing to do with safety. Given the problem with housing affordability, should building codes expand into energy conservation, or does building code development need to be reformed to refocus back on safety?
You know, that is a great question, and we could talk about that for hours. Obviously, we in the home building sector believe that the most important reason to have codes is for safety and habitability. Unfortunately, over the course of the past several years, there has been an increase in demand put on the code-making officials to include everything from energy efficiency to water efficiency, you name it, and there's some environmental element coming into the codes. We've been fortunate that we've been able, for the most part, to keep things reasonable, to make sure that the code-making bodies, both at the national level where they do the model codes, all the way down to the local levels, take into account a reasonable cost effectiveness for the home or apartment building owner in order to make sense here and keep housing, and I keep going back to this, affordable. You know, and appealing. You know, I've told people at various times, we could build a house that will withstand any hurricane, any flood, any nuclear bomb. But who wants to live in it? You have to realize that people want to live in certain places, they want to live in certain style houses, and they want to be able to afford to do so. And if we can work with the code-making officials to keep that first and foremost at top of their thoughts. Now, I have to tell you, we've had the backstop the last 4 years of the Trump administration, which largely agreed with us on this, I have very strong reason for concern with the new administration and the score. And the reason behind that is the announcement by President-elect Biden that former Senator John Kerry is going to be his climate change guru. When he was in the Senate, Senator Kerry was way more environmentally inclined than he was housing affordability inclined. And I'm worried that that's the direction that he will take this job. That fear, I think, was heightened when a week or so ago, 40 major corporations, including manufacturers, including financial corporations, which control to some extent the cash flow into and out of the housing sector, to get us back into the Paris Accords. If some of our own corporate entities that should understand a moderation in housing affordability are going down that path, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for us to continue to keep things down the straight and narrow. To do that, NEHB is working closely with our own internal codes experts to examine every code proposal that comes up. We always do that, and we're fairly successful. But also to define housing affordability as it relates to building codes and put that out there in the public eye. The code process is one that is very, very technical. It takes a while, and it's one that we're going to have to be even better at fighting than we have in the past.
That's fantastic. We need NAHB now more than ever. And the association has been brilliant at connecting those dots.
So thank you.
Keep up the good fight.
We got a great team.
The International Builders Show, or IBS, is one of the nation's oldest and largest events. Years past, the combined IBS-KBIS show was massive. 2,000 exhibitors, 90,000 attendees. This year it's all online. How's it shaping up in terms of exhibitors and attendees?
Well, you know, it's been quite a journey for the last 7 or 8 months. If I go all the way back to last year's IBS, which, as you point out, was just a tremendous, tremendous show, I asked NAHB's leaders for some money to study the future of trade shows and where the IBS was going to fit in, where the trade show industry was trending, and how we could make sure that IBS stayed at the forefront of the trade show industry. They were generous enough to give me a pot of money to do that. And we had engaged a consultant early last spring, late last winter, and begun studying that process and started looking at not a virtual trade show, but a virtual component to the IBS. So then when the COVID virus hit, I instructed my team, much to their chagrin, I might say, to start to pursue a dual track, to start to plan for a real IBS if we were able to beat the pandemic in time to host the show this coming February, and a virtual IBS as a fallback. And did they do a great job? All summer long, they were working at dual tracks, putting together the possibility of two completely separate concepts for a trade show. And when our members decided in their wisdom, and it was the right decision, that we would pull the plug on the live IBS for this year, we already had a significant amount of the planning done. And so we switched immediately into high gear and planned for IBSX. Now, right now, IBSX is selling very well. We've got some of the leading players in the industry that have already committed to having a virtual spot in the show. We are moving forward very, very quickly. We've got the same amount of education sessions that we've always had. This time they're virtual. We've even got a virtual way for attendees to set up meetings with the various exhibitors. So while I'm not thrilled about it being virtual, I love being at the IBS. I love interacting with the builders, my friends, and my colleagues for so many years. I believe that the IBSX is going to be the benchmark for virtual trade shows. We've had the privilege of being ahead of the game to start out with. Then we had the ability all summer long to watch others put together virtual shows, We know what works, we know what doesn't work, and we've been able to combine everything into our planning for IBSX. So I would encourage your viewers to register for IBSX, come to IBSX, and then prepare to get together and have a great time in 2022 when we go back to IBS Live.
Well, I'm excited, and we'll definitely be there. We'll put a link at the bottom of this show so that everyone should be there. This is the one show you should not miss.
It's going to be tremendous. I'm really proud of our team.
It's great to know the thought that went behind the scenes.
Thank
Brilliance
you.
Always looks so easy. Well, thank you for being with us today, Jerry. You bring valuable perspective, historic perspective, and experience that guides the way through these changing times. We appreciate your wisdom and clarity.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'd like to wish everybody a very happy holiday season. I can't wait for 2021.
Amen, brother. Jerry Howard, one of the truest examples of the tenacity and sheer will of the building industry, leading those who have built a country and housed this great nation. Oh, and let's not forget, like the cowboys they are, ride into the wind without a second thought. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. We can all rest a little easier knowing that you are right there side by side with the nation's administration and legislation representing the country's hardworking housing providers and operators. We appreciate your work, along with NAHB, making sure that builders can keep building. I'm Linda Hoffman. See you on our next exciting episode of NAHB Power Hitters.